one of you in Jesus' name. It's been good to be here this morning and to see little confirmations in little parts of the different parts of the service that make me a little bit more at rest with where God has led me with the message this morning. It's so cool when that happens. You know, I always pray for the Spirit to direct my thoughts, to direct me in the places He wants me to go with the message. And I just thought of it as the service was going on. I don't pray very often for the rest of the service, though. I usually have my focus on preparing the message. But it's so neat how the Spirit leads each one that has a part. And it just ties everything together so nicely. The title for today's message, I titled it A Call to Discipleship. If you look at the bulletin, the verse on the front was a verse I actually considered incorporating in the message. It's found in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. It says, "If anyone wants to be my disciple, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Speaking of the sacrifice that it involves. And then Walter's devotional with, you know, there's times we have to slow down. We have to sacrifice our agenda and take the time if we are actually going to step alongside somebody and disciple them, to walk with them, to walk in their shoes, as you might say, whatever that might involve. So there's all kinds of sacrifices that we make as we disciple. And then the lesson, part of the discussion was, you know, you see a lot of people that claim to believe in God, or they might even say that they follow God, but are they a true disciple? And you can tell the difference when someone is actually truly surrendered and serving Jesus. You can just tell the difference by how their life looks. So we're going to look at discipleship and disciples today. I changed my notes up a little bit. We're going to start out by reading what we call the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. You can turn there. And we're going to read just verses 18 through 20 to begin with. I know this is very familiar. This is something that I think when you speak of discipleship or discipling or evangelism, I think a lot of times our minds go straight to this section of verses where Jesus gives the disciples what we call the Great Commission. Starting in verse 18, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" So a lot of times I've heard this read in the context of going out and evangelizing, and I think that's totally fitting. I wanted to look at it a little differently. When you're going and making disciples, it's more than evangelizing. It's more than just spreading the gospel. It's also baptizing. It's also, in verse 20, "teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." That's more of a process than simply going out and spreading the gospel. And that's kind of the context of what I'm going with this message. The main text that I'm going to read is going to be actually at the end of the message, and it's going to be found in Romans chapter 12. It feels a little backwards to do the text at the end, but it feels like it ties everything together very nicely. So that's where I'll be concluding, will be Romans chapter 12. And I don't know what goes through your mind when you hear the term discipleship. I know for me, for years, I would have thought something different than I do now. I would have often pictured it being something that the ministry would take care of the church, the actual discipling of the churchgoers, of new believers, whatever it might be, that it needed to be someone that was more spiritually mature than I was, someone more educated maybe, or experienced, whatever it might be. I would have pictured that being the job of a minister. And maybe that's where your mind goes. I don't know. And if it is, then I'm not going to be too hard on you. But I'm hoping and I'm praying by the end of the message, maybe you can have a little different perspective. I think as we dig into what discipleship actually is, maybe we can see that we all have a role to play. Each of us as believers is a disciple. That's what we strive to be, a disciple. And that includes discipling others. And as we grow in our faith and our knowledge of our Lord and Savior, then we actually get the urge to spread that with those around us as well. I feel like a message in a short period of time really hardly does this justice. So I was really trying to figure out how to tie a lot of things together in a short amount of time. So forgive me if it seems a little jumbled. I hope we can get through this and it actually does create a clearer picture of what we need to do to be a true follower or true disciple of Jesus. I think to understand discipleship, you have to first look at the term disciple. So what does that look like? What does it mean? If you go back to ancient times or biblical times, a disciple was basically a follower or an adherent of a teacher. It's not what we would picture as a modern-day student. There is a difference. A student would be basically someone that's trying to learn from a teacher. A disciple actually took that further. They actually learned, but they also tried to practically apply everything that they learned so that they would actually imitate the life and the actions of the teacher, or as they referred to them, the master. It was a deliberate apprenticeship which made the disciple a living copy of the master. So it was deeper than simply being a student. They learned all that they could, but then they took it to the next level, and they did their best to actually apply it and live out the example that the master had showed them. You look at the disciples that Jesus chose, and you can see an example of this very thing. You know, they had the opportunity to follow Jesus throughout his ministry. They walked beside him. They got personal teachings from him, and they learned all they could. But then after he was no longer with them, they continued to live as he had taught them. They continued to model the example that he had set for them. And then as the Holy Spirit came into the picture, they then had the task of discipling the new group of believers that was growing quickly and that actually became the start of the church. And if you look in Acts, when this was all going on, it says the word of God spread, and the number of disciples increased rapidly, and many were added to the kingdom each day. And then if you look at each of the disciples themselves, you could maybe think, well, but that's them. You know, that doesn't apply to me. They were right there with Jesus. They were specially chosen people. But if you really look at the disciples, were they from a elite background? Did they have a high education? Did they have an elite social status? I would say for the most part, they did not. Matthew was a tax collector. That was probably a little more of a socially elite position maybe, even though they weren't liked by the common people. But if you look at the background details, we don't have a lot on all of them. But we do know some were fishermen, very common trade. We would say they were blue collar. They were hands-on. They were getting their hands dirty, and they were working hard for their living. And then at least one was a tax collector. I would say basically they were common men. So we cannot use the excuse that they were above us and we don't qualify or whatever excuses we might make. Jesus called them and they followed. And through their following God, He empowered them to do things that only he could give them power to do. And there's a lesson that can be learned there for us. God wants each of us to be his disciple. It doesn't matter what our background is. It doesn't matter what our social status is, our financial status, marital status, whatever. When we give our life to Christ, God wants us to be a disciple, to follow him faithfully. And we're all called to follow him faithfully. As Christians, we surrender our lives to Jesus. He is our master, as Sandra referred to. And we are his disciples. We do our best to imitate his character and to reflect his love to everyone around us. And as we do this, then we can begin to see what true discipleship looks like. And now, we've covered kind of what a disciple looks like. You look at the term discipleship. There's a quote that I found that I kind of liked how it summed it up. I don't know much about this person or anything, but I'm just going to read this quote and take it for what it's worth. Discipleship is the art of helping people find, follow, and fully become like Jesus. Discipleship happens as God's people show love, share truth, and live life with one another, making new disciples along the way. That quote is from Brandon Cox. Another quote, Christianity without discipleship is always Christianity without Christ. And that was from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Here's another one. To be a disciple of Jesus is to make disciples of Jesus. David Platt. Discipleship is not just limited to spreading the gospel to the lost of the world, to being a missionary over on the other side of the world. Nor is it limited to only discipling a new believer, someone that's just trying to grow in their newfound faith and commitment to Christ. And I would say it's not limited to those, but those are two very important aspects of discipleship. But I think sometimes we focus so much on certain aspects of it that we might miss an opportunity that's right beside us, that's right close to us, of a need where we could step in and actually come alongside someone and disciple them. I think it can be anything that involves us helping another individual grow closer to God or helping them understand the Word of God a little better. I think that's discipleship. It might look different from time to time, but you know, it could be something like mentoring someone, a new believer that needs someone to walk alongside them. It's definitely part of that. Maybe it's a Bible study to help someone gain a new hunger and thirst to dig into the Word of God. Maybe it's taking a special interest in someone that you see that is a Christian. They might be struggling right then. They might be wondering if they are going to throw in the towel on their faith. You can come alongside them, encourage them, help them to have the strength to carry on and to keep the faith. Those are just some examples that I think of when it comes to discipling. But I don't think we need to create a box that is discipleship, because it's going to look different from time to time with different needs that come up. But I think the key is, as we become more surrendered, as we become more committed to God and his work and his will, then the Spirit fills us. And then we have the urge to reach out. And then the opportunities, they're going to show up. They're going to be there for you to reach out and practice discipleship. I was trying to think of a way to sum up, you know, what maybe is the primary goal of discipleship. This is what I came up with. I may be a little bit wrong, or there may be others, but I came up with spiritual maturity, growing in Christ. I think that is what we're aiming for, to be more filled with the Spirit and less focused on our desires and wants. I think that's what we're all trying to do, because at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is model our lives after our Master, who is Jesus Christ. I don't think it makes any difference if it's a new Christian, if it's someone that's been a Christian for a long time. That's God's desire, is for us to grow closer to Him. He wants that close relationship. And so we should be steadily and progressively growing in our walk with God so that we can look more like Christ each and every day. Now, that being the goal doesn't mean it happens overnight. You know, when someone commits their life to Christ, spiritual maturity doesn't come with the flip of a switch. I had to think of the example of, you know, you think of a child that's trying to learn how to walk. And all of us that have children know the progression. You know, first of all, they're scooting around. Then they maybe get their balance where they can sit. Maybe I have that backwards, but usually it's somewhere like that. Then they're not quite satisfied with that, so they try to stand. And they're really wobbly, and they fall. And then they start to wobble and teeter, and they wobble to make their first step. Now, if you were one of the lucky ones that jumped straight from crawling to running, well, then bless your heart. I don't know, maybe I should say bless your parents' hearts. Because that's not the normal progression. You don't normally go straight from crawling to running. And it's the same way in the spiritual journey. It's not going to be something that you instantly have full understanding of the Bible or full understanding of God's principles. God reveals this to you day by day as you seek Him. And it can be very helpful for a new believer to have someone that is more mature, more experienced, that has been through more of the struggles of life, to come alongside them and maybe give them some wisdom, maybe give them some advice, but most of all, just to support them, to walk along with them. I think that's a huge way where we can disciple someone, is through that. There's something I heard someone say years ago. I don't even remember who it was, but it resonated with me, and it still does today. And that is that no matter what age you are or what stage of life you find yourself in, there is somebody that's looking up to you as an example. And think about that. Even as a young child, there's often someone that's younger than you that wants to be like you, that wants to do things like you do. And that goes all throughout life. There's someone that's watching you, and you may not even know it, that is looking at you as an example, maybe as a role model, whatever it might be. And, you know, it might be how you respond to a tough time, how you make a decision, how you walk through difficult points in life, whatever it might be, someone's watching you. So would it change anything about how we act, how we do things, if we were to keep that in mind, you know, that somebody is watching us? I guess it depends on who our example is. If our example is Jesus and we're focused on modeling everything we do after Him, then you have nothing to worry about. You're setting a great example for whoever it is that's trying to follow in your footsteps. But if we are focused on doing what we want to do and following our agenda, then you're going to set a really poor example for somebody. And trust me, that somebody is probably going to try to follow and do things just like you do. So it's important to understand that no matter where you find yourself in life, it's important to know that we're called to disciple. Of course, that looks different when you're a small child. I get that. I'm not saying you should be spiritually trying to lead other children, whatever. But be a good example. You can start at an early age. But as you get older, don't use the excuse that you're not where you think you need to be, and so you can't be a disciple. Don't use that excuse. We all have a calling. There's most likely somebody that can be helped by you, no matter where you are. And it's not something that you need to fall into the trap of always depending on the church leaders to be the ones to do it. Because I can assure you the church leaders aren't capable of doing that every time that it's needed. So everyone can help and play their part. It's not always easy to disciple someone. It's not always easy to partake in discipleship. In fact, I would say it usually takes sacrifice of some part. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, "Salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you your life." And that's not literally always the case, of course. In his case, it was. He was a martyr for his faith. He did give up his life because he chose to stand for his faith. In our lives, in our time, it probably means we're going to have to sacrifice more something along the lines of time or money. It might be something that you have to step out of your comfort zone. It might be something that involves ridicule if you're trying to reach out to the world, the lost. They don't always open up with open arms to receiving the truth or the gospel. So it's not always going to be easy. If you look in Acts as the disciples or the apostles as they're referred to, were trying to continue Jesus' ministry and establish the church and grow the church, they faced a lot of persecution and a lot of hardships because the religious rulers of that day were jealous. There was a lot of people making the movement to Christianity and becoming disciples of Christ, following Christ, and they were scared of that and they didn't like it. So they were trying to squash the movement. They were trying to hinder the work and the spread of the gospel. But in spite of all that, the Holy Spirit continued to move and the church continued to grow very rapidly. And the work of discipleship did not stop because there was opposition. We're not promised it's going to be easy, but we're still called to practice discipleship. We need to do everything we can to make every effort that we can to be faithful in our calling to serve Jesus. I want to give just a few foundations that I came up with for effective discipleship. And the first one is going to seem silly, probably. But this is the foundation, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't get anywhere if you don't actually have a personal, close relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you think about it, this is something that we have that no other religion can offer, to actually walk with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to be able to talk with Him. You know, you don't have to just learn about Him. You can learn from Him as He reveals Himself to you. And that's something that God desires from us. And this is how we grow as a disciple of Jesus. And this is something that continues all throughout our life. It's not a one-time occurrence. It's not a short-term decision. It's a lifetime of transformation, of renewal, and of growth. And as we do that, we become more and more like Jesus in our character and our conduct. And then it makes it easier. We're more equipped to reach out and disciple others. So a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Number two, giving up our own selfish desires and totally surrendering to God's plan for us. If you're not surrendered, it's not going to work because you're going to be going about it how you want to. You're going to be pushing the things that you feel are important. Total surrender is the only way we can truly be disciples of Jesus. We are to become more like Him, and that means we are to fill all of our being with more of Him and less of us. How do we do this? How do we become more like Christ? We do it by focusing on His will and we focus on Him and what He has for us. Number three, humility. Discipleship requires us to take on the role of a servant, and that takes humility. It involves us serving others, not being served ourselves. If you try to go into this with pride, it's going to derail everything you're trying to do. The focus has to be on Christ, not on us. When we have a servant's heart, we can more easily show love and compassion to those that we're reaching out to. It becomes easier to be obedient to God and His leading. It also becomes more evident to those that we're trying to reach out to that we actually care about them and we want them to experience God's blessings in their lives as well. And there again, after all, we're not trying to make them be like us. We're trying to make them be like Jesus, to help them to see how to be more like Jesus. So that's a lot, and I repeated some of that stuff. Different times you would have heard some of the same stuff, but it's because it's important. It's a key that we have to remember in discipling others. Now I want to read chapter 12 of Romans, and I'm going to read this entire chapter. And the reason being, I think if we live with this as an example, it ties a lot of things together that we can try to emulate and try to work towards, and then we can be a genuine, true disciple of Jesus Christ. Starting in verse 1, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Serving the Lord, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." There's a lot more that can be said on this topic. I realize that. It's hard to know where to start and stop. But there's some basics that I just really want to hammer home when it comes to discipleship. And it has to include focusing on the Savior, laying down our selfish desires, And then out of love for our Savior and for others, we can strive to do all that we can to bring others into the family of God. If we use the example here in Romans 12 and we live according to these truths, then we can be effective in discipling others. And that would be my prayer, is that we can each catch the vision for what we can do for the church, what we can do to reach out to others when we take the time and make the effort to disciple people. So let's not neglect our calling. Calvin, do you have a song? Okay, number 429 in the Faith and Praise. When you find that, you can stand. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love, God. Thank you for just the examples that we can look at in your word, that we can learn from, that we can grow from. And God, as we think of being true disciples and discipling others, Father, would you give us the urge, would you give us the passion to reach out? Father, help us to lay down whatever it is that holds us back and just to turn our focus entirely on you. Father, would you lead us, would you guide us, would you give us strength to do what we need to do? Lord, I pray that we would bring you honor and glory this week in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.